Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to episode number 3 and the conclusion of our 3-week series called Shine, as we prepare the way for the beginning of our journey towards Easter. This series has been a wonderful opportunity for us to consider how God works in our lives, our families, and our church, inspiring all of us to let our light shine in a very dark world. Light exposes darkness, and it brings clarity to our lives. And as we continue to reach out into this dark world and warmly welcome other people into this kingdom of clarity, we must also understand that this narrow path, it's not always an easy one. Clarity is not always warm, and truth is definitely not always easy. The light brings the truth, but the truth is not always comfortable. It's not always convenient. It stirs us up. It goes against the grain of the comfortable path that many people choose. And that's the difficult part, I believe, about being the light of the world, because it means that we must stand for truth even when we are pressured not to, as a church and as individuals. Jesus was the light, the great bringer of absolute clarity, and what happened? It cost him his life. So we shouldn't be surprised when the light costs us something as well. Jesus knew this, so he warned all of us against the temptation to dampen that bright light within us. Our light was never meant to be muted. It wasn't. It's meant to be put on a stand. It's meant to be displayed on a hill for everybody to see, for the whole world to see. And as Christ followers, we're meant to exert our influence so obviously that no matter how far the light gets from somebody, that they can still see it in the distance. The light will always illuminate the path that's before us, leading to hope. And just as he is the light of the world, we too, all of us, must shine in the increasingly darkened world of our day. And sometimes it seems to be getting darker by the day. But you know what? The light always shines brightest in the darkness. So our Shine series has been based on a portion of Scripture from the book of Matthew that is very significant. The Sermon on the Mount is actually the longest piece of teaching from Jesus himself in the New Testament. And it contains kind of an overview of what the kingdom of God looks like and why all of us are here. Matthew 5:14-16, again, says, "You are the light of the world." I want you to be very familiar with this scripture. That's why we come back to it each week. We were created, you and I, with great purpose. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Even if you tried, you can't pull that off. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl and hide it. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. This is a call by Jesus to action for all of us. Let your light shine, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to be that city on a hill, letting his light shine through each of us to those that are lost in darkness. I am forever thankful for the people who let that light shine within them, because it caused me to ask questions. It caused me to seek truth and to find it over time. We can't make ourselves the light, but the Father has sent the Son. He sent Jesus, the light of the world, to abide within us. So in turn, we become the light to the world. As carriers of light, that visible influence of hope and life shining in society because of the relationship that we have with them. And we've talked about it before. The more time we spend with him, the more we reflect of his goodness. The more time I spend in the light, the more I reflect it. So my message title today is actually a statement, a very important statement that I think we all need to understand. And that statement is this: you are here. Now, in an audience this size, I'm very mindful of the fact that there is a large group of you, both online and here in the house, that love to shop. People love to shop. There's other people, though, that it's not so much a passion of theirs. And that group of people, I think, are often misunderstood, ignored, and trampled on. This is a terrible thing. This is probably the group that I happily or unhappily belong to, right? In case you couldn't tell, that's my MO. I can't stand it. I can't stand to shop. It's a necessary evil. I get in, I get out. It's like a strategic strike. I'm not looking to linger. It seems that over the years, as our boys were younger, wherever we went on vacation, somehow, some way, we would end up in a mall, being mauled by the mall. It was just, to me, it was everything about the world I cannot stand. It's like giving blood to me. And so as soon as we walk in, I feel that familiar kind of moment, like I'm rolling up my sleeve to have the life force sucked from my body, right? As we kind of walk through and synchronize our watches to figure out what time we're going to meet back together. But when I walk through that door, most of the time, as everybody goes their separate ways and does their thing, I have one singular question on my mind. This is true with any city or place that I travel to. I like to know where I am. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, where am I? And I'm looking for that sign, right? Everybody knows that illuminated sign that shows the kind of the map of the mall. That's where this question leads me. And usually it's found kind of near the entrance. But the one thing I know for sure is that there's always an arrow and there's always the words, "You are here." It shows me exactly where I am in the scope of this sprawling multi-level nightmare that I find myself in, right? And that big arrow points to the truth. And so I understand in life this very simple but profound truth. If you don't identify where you are first, you will never get to where you want to be. Very important that we understand that, whether we're lost in a mall or lost in the world. Knowing where you are is so essential and making our message today vitally important. For those of you that are walking through life and have opportunity to share the gospel with other people, to tell people your story, you first need to know the gospel. So let's talk a little bit about where you are, where people are in this world, where our journey all began. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Scripture also reminds us in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, "Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins." It was important for me to recognize at a time in my life, the time before I came to Christ, that I had a problem. I had a sin problem, and that required a sin solution. It was my "you are here" moment of reckoning. And that big arrow points to the fact that you and I were all in sin, but it's from this place of recognition that we're in this dark place that we can see the light that's leading us out. Through the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary's cross, something that we will commemorate on Good Friday and celebrate on Easter Sunday when he rises, God provided a sin solution when he called us out of the darkness. And it is what Christ did for us that is central to the gospel message, the good news. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "You are a chosen people." Next time you feel like, "Man, I am a mistake. I don't know why I'm here. This is a waste of breath. Nobody would care if I'm gone." Not true. Not true at all. This is what the Bible says about you. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. So because we are who we've been called to be, we can shine and show the goodness. We can shine that light and show it to others. For he has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So where are we? Well, the answer is that if we haven't dealt with the sin in our life, we still need to do that. If you've done that today, fantastic. Then make sure you understand the truth of the gospel is not just for you, but it is for all who are lost in sin, all who are lost in darkness. If you're here today or watching online and you're seeking, maybe you're stumbling in the darkness. Today I want you to see his bright light of love and forgiveness shining for you. God created a universal plan to rescue all of us from where we are to ensure we arrive exactly where we need to be. Now, as we travel through this life, there will be times when it becomes necessary to make a few course corrections along the way. The first big one is to choose to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. John the Baptist said, "Repent and be saved." When you choose to make Jesus your Savior, you make him your Lord and choose to live every day with him. That is a big course correction. And some course corrections are larger than others, which creates major changes in our lives, like saying yes to Jesus, while others are mild and sometimes unnoticeable. That's just the way that they are. But in our personal walk with Jesus, we often allow the issues and the busyness of life to gradually cause us to kind of drift. It's not a sharp left turn. It's just a slow drift. And we don't even know that it's happening sometimes if we're not being intentional and paying attention to the road and the path that he's called us to. Did you know that if a plane flying from New York to Tel Aviv in Israel drifts off its intended course by just 1 degree north for the entire flight, it will eventually end up in Moscow, not Israel at all, not Tel Aviv. That's more than 1,600 miles off course. And without correcting their flight path, they would completely miss their mark. Sometimes the Holy Spirit calls you and I to adjust our course so that we may remain on track. And that true north for us is focusing on him, on the light. Andy Stanley once said, "In life, everybody winds up somewhere, but a few people wind up somewhere on purpose." One of the best examples of this comes from what many people have called literary nonsense. It's this twisted little novel that I've always kind of liked that was written back in 1865 about a girl named Alice who falls down a rabbit hole into this mysterious and bizarre fantasy world. And it was called Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, which is kind of commonly shortened to Alice in Wonderland, written by Lewis Carroll. But the story paints this picture of a strange new world with the amazing, colorful imagery and characters like you've never seen before. And one of those colorful characters is the smiling Cheshire Cat. And when Alice encounters this creepy cat, she kind of asks him which way she should go from where she was. She was confused. And the cat answers her question with another question and asks Alice where she wants to go. Kind of a question that some of us can't always answer. And maybe some of us answer the way Alice did when she said it doesn't matter much, I suppose. To which the cat replies, "Then it doesn't matter much which way you go. If we don't know where we're going, how will you know when you get there, when you arrive?" This is true for us as individuals, for our families, for our relationships, our marriages, and for our church. In Luke chapter 15, we read a familiar story of the prodigal son. Such a powerful story. And beginning in verse 17, we see where he finally determined that he was at the bottom. He was in a pig pen, and it wasn't where he wanted to be at all. But it wasn't until he recognized where he was that he could realize with clarity where he wanted to be. And that's when he moved to a point of action. That's when he got up and said, okay, it's enough. I have to get out of here. I need to return to my Father. The statement I want each of you to understand today is, if you are here, what is your next step? Wherever you are today, where is God calling you to go next? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We're all kind of at the same baseline, in desperate need of a Savior. We all need forgiveness. We all need to be loved and accepted. We all need purpose. And unless we realize that this is where we are, wherever that is, we will never find the joy and peace that God has planned for us. And knowing where you are will also help to lead other people from where they are to a place of knowing Him. So where are you today? Where are you in relation to God? Where are you today in relation to church community? Or even the community at large? Where are you in this part of the world? I think it takes a great deal of courage and honesty to recognize you are here, like the prodigal son did. And then be willing to get up from that place, move towards the light, and step out of the darkness, step out of confusion, step into the clarity that God has created you to have. We see this dynamic in play in the very beginning in the book in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. It says, then the Lord called out to the man, where are you? Where are you? Now, interestingly enough, I touched briefly on this a few weeks back in my message. And then the very next week, Pastor Vince came back to it as well. So I think maybe you needs to hear this. This verse is much more than the first recorded game of hide and go seek. Adam sinned. Adam broke the good thing that God had established. He had disobeyed God, and now he was hiding from him, feeling lost and ashamed. They once walked and talked in close relationship. So why is he hiding from the one that he loves? Why is he embarrassed? Why did Adam move from the light of God's presence into the shadows, into the darkness? One simple but deadly word, sin. Sin. Sin changed the dynamic of their relationship. So the Lord calls out to Adam, where are you? Where did you go? It's not God asking because he's exhausted from the hunt and can't find him anymore and finally gives up. No. He wants Adam to know. He wants Adam to recognize where he is or where he moved from. He wants Adam to understand the statement that I'm asking you today, that if you are here, what are you going to do next? The Father knew exactly where he was. He knows exactly where you are today. But he wants you to recognize where you are in order for you to move beyond it. We need to daily allow the light of God to expose the darkness in our lives that seems to creep up on us sometimes like a low-lying, creeping fog that suddenly we're surrounded by and we become lost in. To make whatever course corrections we need to make, whatever's necessary to maintain our focus and stay on track to where he's called us to go. Am I someone that other people in the church or in my neighborhood can lean on for support? Can I be counted on when they face the most challenging moments of their lives? Am I someone that those around me can say, you know what? I know that they'll be there to help minister life and light to me when I need it. He shines on us so that we can shine on others. Never forget that truth. And by honestly recognizing where we are, it helps each of us as a church to move beyond where we are to a new place in Christ. Another level in where he's called us to go. A place where we make ourselves available to serve, to love, to share the light of God with those that are in need. Ministering to people exactly where they are. God not only shaped us to serve, but he gave us a model. He came to earth himself in the form of Christ and said, "This is what I'm talking about. This is how you do it." Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus says, "Your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve, to love others." You are here, every single one of you, with great purpose, both in this church and in this community, to help extend the reach of light that is within all of us to those that are still lost in darkness. At the center of this series has been the light that must shine in each one of our lives so that others may come to know him. Tell people your story. Share the gospel truth of what Christ has done. Give people the hope to know that they're called with great purpose and that he's given everything that he has because of his love for you to forgive you, to get you back on track. If that's you today, today if you're searching, if you're wanting answers, if you want some clarity, whether you're here in the house or watching from anywhere else around the world, if that's you today, I want to pray with you. I also want to pray for all of you that know the way and are walking in it, that you will also be compelled to tell that story, to share the gospel with those that are still lost. So I'd love to pray for both of you. But let's start with those of you that are here searching for him. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray together? Father, I pray right now for those that are seeking. If that's you, pray this simple prayer with me in recognition of where you are and where he's called you to go. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have a sin problem. I recognize that I need a sin solution. And I know that solution is you. I thank you that you gave your life, that you died willingly on a cross for the joy that was set before you, and that joy was me. Forgive me of my sin, come in to my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. And help me to never allow my testimony, my story, my light to be muted in this dark world, but to allow it to be shouted from the rooftops. I thank you today for those that have prayed that prayer, that have gone from darkness into light. And now I pray for all the rest of us, that if we prayed that prayer before, that we would feel compelled and stirred once again to share the gospel like never before, that as we move closer to Easter, that we would move closer to allowing your light, the light that you shone upon us, that we would allow that light in us to shine on others as we share the gospel message, as we share the good news wherever we go. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. God's very best, Calvary. We love you all. Look forward to being with you again soon.